This might sound weird, but the Pink House is iconic. No other clinic I've reported on has quite the same name recognition, or the sass. Clinic volunteers call themselves the Pink House Defenders. Staff wear t-shirts that read "The Pink House" on the front and "Mind Your Own Uterus" on the back. But the Pink House wasn't always pink. That happened after it got a new owner, Diane Derzes.
Tell me all about Diane.
I can't tell you all about Diane. We don't even have that kind of time, girl.
Shannon Brewer, the clinic director, remembers in detail the day they met.
She was like the Tasmanian devil. Spinning through, I mean, she has on these bangles and everything, knocking out everything in sight.
The clinic's original decor was classically medical, brown and beige.
Diane walks in, oh my God, this place is so depressing. We need some color, we're gonna do this, we're gonna put red on here, and we're gonna do the purple here.
Shannon thought it sounded crazy, but Diane's the kind of woman who does what it takes to get what she wants. And Shannon came around. Diane's argument was women who come to the clinic are already going through a lot.
You should have something that people feel happy, calm.
Care for the patients, down to the color of the walls. On the inside, the clinic has the color scheme of a candy shop. A decade later, this is the legacy of the Pink House. Don't go about your business quietly, in muted colors. Be unapologetic, defiant, even hopeful. This summer, the U.S. Supreme Court will likely issue a ruling that will end the constitutional right to an abortion in the United States. Half of state legislatures are poised to ban nearly all abortions. The fact that you can still get abortions at all in Mississippi, that's thanks to a small group of people who for decades have refused to give up. I'm Rosemary Westwood, and this is Banned, Episode 3, The Providers. Suing Mississippi over its 15-week abortion ban is exactly the kind of fight Diane Derzes signed up for. When she bought Jackson Women's Health Organization in 2010, it was already the last clinic in Mississippi. Every anti-abortion politician and activist in the state was laser-focused, trying to shut it down. To understand why Diane would take that on, you have to go back to 1975. Diane was newly married, in her early 20s, and living in Birmingham, Alabama, and she got pregnant. This was 2 years after Roe v. Wade had legalized abortion in the United States. When Diane called her mother, her mom said she'd regret having an abortion.
And I said, no, I don't want children. You know, I've never wanted children. I'm going to have an abortion.
She tells me to get her abortion. She went to a doctor's office. The abortion went fine. The doctor was competent. But he was also, and I'm just going to say it, a jerk.
This was before clinics. He said to me, you didn't have a problem spreading your legs before. If you don't do it now, I'm not seeing you.
In other words, don't be modest. You spread your legs to have sex, so spread them now for an abortion. Diane did as told, but she left thinking, women deserve better than this guy. Later, she was sitting around watching TV at home. A political ad came on for an anti-abortion politician.
And fetuses were all over the TV. And I remember just being incensed that this was on my TV screen.
Diane's dogs bark over the phone line. This anger was life-changing for Diane. When an abortion clinic opened in Birmingham a few months later, Diane begged for a job until they hired her.
It was just like I had found my niche in society.
Close to five decades later, Diane owns three abortion clinics, the Pink House, one in Virginia, and one in Georgia. And on one level, business is good, but it's been a dangerous job over the years. In 1993, a doctor Diane worked with was shot and killed outside another abortion clinic in Florida, a clinic Diane did not own. Then, 5 years later, her phone rang. It was the administrator of Diane's Birmingham clinic.
She said, "The sirens you hear are coming for us. They've just bombed the clinic." And she hung up.
That bombing of Diane's Birmingham clinic killed a security guard. Over the years, Diane earned the pejorative nickname the Abortion Queen. But it fits. Independent clinics like the Pink House, not national groups, provide the majority of abortions in the U.S. Diane has spent her life ensuring abortion access in states where doing so has become harder and harder.
This is the most basic element of your life. If you cannot decide whether or when to be a parent, then you can't make any decisions.
Diane's activism imprinted on Shannon.
She fights hard. She fights hard. Before she came, I worked here.
After Diane came, the Pink House became Shannon's calling. She became more outspoken. She's been profiled in a documentary about the clinic and given countless media interviews.
She made me see that my voice means something and people would listen, that it's me that they need to talk to.
The week I meet Shannon, she's landed on the cover of Time magazine. Visibility she hopes moves people to get off the sidelines and into the abortion fight. Diane might own the clinic, but Shannon is its face. Like the majority of patients who come to the clinic, Shannon is a Black woman from Mississippi with deep roots in this place. She grew up 15 minutes away, in a town divided by race, in a house her grandfather built. Shannon says Jackson does little to support abortion rights, despite its liberal leanings. And the people who support the clinic mostly do it quietly. They're too scared to join a rally, worried their faces could show up on the news. Fighting for abortion rights in a state where you will be vilified for it, that can be lonely.
I'm out here asking everybody else to speak up and saying that it's time. And I know that if I was the only person standing there, she would be standing there beside me.
Shannon and Diane talk on the phone every day. They're in each other's corner. There's one more provider at the Pink House I need to tell you about, who is critical to keeping this clinic open. Actually, it's a small group of people, the doctors willing to work here. One day, while I'm sitting with Shannon in her office, one of them walks in.
Hey, Doc. Look at you all dressy. Look at you.
The doctor's in his early 70s, white, athletic build, wearing, uncharacteristically, a pretty slick jacket to work.
Oh, you look all jazzy. Look at you.
My jacket from Paris.
Okay, okay. I like it.
Yeah, now we're going out of time.
He chats a little, then heads back to get ready for the day. Later, in a small room with peach walls, a group of patients is waiting for the doctor. One of the last steps in a patient's first appointment. The doctor walks in, sits down.
Gonna talk to you guys for a couple of minutes about the consent process. First of all, hopefully, guys, you're here on your own.
He starts giving a speech required by Mississippi law.
In your arm, the state wants me to scare you guys and tell you there's a risk of breast cancer related to abortion. There is not, so now you can forget that.
This part, he later tells me, drives him nuts. Having to lie about something as serious as cancer, there's no good science behind this claim. But it's one anti-abortion activists push hard on, and Mississippi state law requires him to repeat it to every patient. He describes to the women the two ways to get an abortion, medication and surgery. The potential, if unlikely, complications from both. The follow-up care. The fact that he can't give anyone their abortion pills right now. The patients have to wait 24 hours. Another law.
Okay. Are there any questions, ladies?
I have a question.
Sure. Can you speak up?
I came from Texas.
The woman's voice is faint. She says she's from Texas. That she already waited 48 hours to get this appointment. That she drove 6 hours to Jackson. She asks, I need to wait another 24 hours? I need to drive back. I have a small baby.
Here's the issue. There is this very strict 24-hour wait period in Mississippi that we cannot go around, okay? Mm-hmm. It's an inconvenience to you, especially coming from out of state, but I can't do anything about that. So unfortunately...
You might remember Natalie from Louisiana. Couldn't get an appointment close to home because the clinics there are full of patients from Texas. These days, so is this clinic in Mississippi. That's because of another abortion ban, Texas's ban, called SB 8. You've probably heard about it. It took effect in September, and it bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. For many women, that's only about 2 weeks after you miss a period, way before viability. So under Supreme Court precedent, it should have been struck down. But Texas's ban was designed to avoid the scrutiny of federal courts. It's complicated, but the upshot is it worked. And like clinics across the South, Mississippi's last clinic has seen a huge swell of patients. The clinic used to be open 3 days a week. Now it's 5. So this woman from Texas has to wait. Not for any medical reason, just politics. Later, the doctor and I sit down in his office around a large desk. The lights above us hum. He tells me a few years ago, when he was working in another state.
I woke up one morning on Saturday, I looked out, and the abortion protesters were circling around the condominium. And my name was on the placards, and they had the disgusting pictures. Nobody in my condominium community had any idea what I did. Well, they did that morning.
The clinic needs doctors in order to exist, but keeping them is tenuous. This doctor even asks me not to use his name, because broadcasting it would make him an even bigger target. So I'm calling him what Shannon calls him, the doc. At the Pink House, anti-abortion protesters started carrying a huge sign with the doc's photo and name.
I've had people follow me. I woke up one morning and there was a couple of protesters across the street that were hiding. It was early in the morning, so it was still relatively dark. I didn't feel safe. I don't always look over my shoulder, but I still sometimes do. And in particular, when I do drive here, I park my car, in some place where it's not going to be seen because I don't want my license plate identified.
What exactly are you afraid of?
Being shot and killed. I mean, they have killed abortion providers in the last decade.
Dr. George Tiller was shot to death at his church in Wichita, Kansas, in 2009.
I'm not worried on a day-to-day basis that somebody's going to be up on a building with a gun and shoot me as I come out. But on the other hand, when I finish my day and if it's in the evening and I'm leaving the clinic, I do look around because you just never know.
The doc has been doing this for a decade, traveling to Jackson from Florida, where he lives, to provide abortions. He used to be the only doctor here, and he's thought of retiring.
You know, it's just there's only a handful of abortion providers left that are willing to travel in particular because Jackson... Mississippi does not have any local abortion providers.
Mississippi OBGYNs refer patients to the Pink House, but they won't work here. Even though both the American Medical Association and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists say abortion is an essential component of reproductive health care. But best medical practices aren't the primary concern when it comes to Mississippi's sole abortion clinic or the clinic's patients. The Pink House's doctors, all from out of state, are shunned from local hospitals. When the doc has high-risk patients, he sends them to a clinic out of state in Atlanta, which has closer ties with its hospital. And it's not just that Mississippi doctors won't work at or even with the Pink House. Some don't even know the state's abortion laws. Shannon tells me about this one couple who wanted to have a child, but their fetus was sick. Its heart was on the outside of its body. It had no chance of survival after birth. The woman's doctor referred her to the Pink House, even though the kind of abortion the woman needed on a fetus with genetic abnormalities is illegal in Mississippi. So instead of this woman finding out from her own doctor that the abortion she wanted was banned, she had to hear it from a doctor at the Pink House. The woman couldn't believe it. She called her doctor and passed the phone to Shannon.
And her doctor couldn't believe it. Her doctor did not even understand what, like, how is that even possible? I'm like, ma'am, it's possible. And that she's not the first doctor we've talked to about that. The thing is that these OBGYNs, these gynecologists and stuff, they don't pay attention to these laws that are being passed pertaining to abortion because they don't think it affects them.
Or their patients and their patients' health. Shannon says it shows the lack of concern Mississippi doctors have for the laws being passed in their own state against best medical practices. She says they just tune them out.
If it says abortion on it, oh, that's not about us. That has nothing to do with us. So they just keep going, keep scrolling. Whatever they're looking at, that has nothing to do with them. Actually, it does.
Shannon referred the couple to another clinic out of state. They sat in her waiting room.
And they cried, and they cried, and they hugged each other, and they cried.
There was nothing more Shannon could do. She'd laid out their choice. Leave Mississippi to get an abortion, or continue months of a pregnancy, and then give birth, and watch their baby die. Next time on Banned, how the Pink House takes its fight for abortion rights to the Supreme Court.
I think sometimes people have this sense that there's a puppet master or some kind of architect that's pulling strings.
RBG should have resigned, you know, like when the left had all of the stuff locked up.
I'm like, America has failed us now. So where do you go when America fails you?
Banned is a production of WWNO and WRKF. It's reported and produced by me, Rosemary Westwood. Edited and produced by the extraordinary Eve Abrams. Our news director is Patrick Madden. Extra support from Priska Neely. Engineering by George Ingmeyer. Mixing by Samantha Gatzik. Digital assistance from Caitlin Omoltz and Orlando Flores Jr. Our logo was shot by Kezia Setiawan and designed by Sarah Warrender. Theme music by Christopher Sheard, Eric Nelson, and Ashley Bloom. Other music provided by Blue Dot Sessions. Our website is bandpodcast.org, and it was designed by John A. Baer. This podcast is for Gloria.